Hello, everybody. This week's Parsha Ve'eschanan, and the Parsha begins with Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Ve'eschanan el Hashem ba'eisa hi lemar. And the question is, what do the words Ve'eschanan actually mean? So you look in the different translations, they say different things. Some say it's the language of pleading, some say it's the language of beseeching. Different synonyms for basically asking for something. But Rashi brings different pshatim as well to what the word Ve'eschanan mean. Rashi first says it's the language of asking for something for free. Lashon of chinam. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to use his own merits. He was asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a free gift, so to speak. But the second pshat in Rashi brings is a medrash, Davar Acher, says Rashi, Ze'echad me'asara l'shoynis shenikra tefila k'disim sefri. This is one of the 10 different languages used for tefila, used for prayer, which Rashi is quoting a medrash. The medrash goes throughout Tanakh and finds 10 different languages for prayer. Tfila, Tsa'aka, Na'aka, Chinun, Pilel, and there's a famous work, a famous sefer written by Rav Shimshon Pinkus called Sha'arim B'Tfila, the Gates of Prayer, based off this measure of 10 different languages for prayer. And he explains, obviously, that they're not just synonyms of different names, different meanings. Each one is a different aspect of prayer, a different way of coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking for something. Bakasha, beseeching, is a different form of prayer than tsa'aka, which is literally just crying out from the depths of your soul without words. And he goes through each and every one of these languages, how a person goes through that. But it's an important concept for us to recognize when we daven that although on one hand, nowadays we have a fixed prayer, a fixed, so to speak, format of prayer, which is given to us by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but there's still a lot of room for uniqueness. And the Midrash tells us that every single prayer, although the words can be the same, but each one does different things, it affects different things, and the way we come to it, the way we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way we are that morning, the way we are that afternoon, it all goes into our prayers, and it has a different expression. It does different things, and that's the different languages of tefillah, but it goes beyond that. I heard a story recently with the Rebbetzin Kamenetsky, Aleh HaShalem, Rebbetzin Temi Kamenetsky, Shmuel Kamenetsky's wife. She passed away recently. So there was once an older bachur, an older single guy who learned in yeshiva and was close to the Kamenetskys. And he'd already been, you know, dating for many, many years, and he just couldn't seem to find the right girl. And he one time mentioned to the Rebbetzin, he asked the Rebbetzin, maybe you can give me a bracha that I should find my wife. So the Rebbetzin asked him, do you daven? So he said, of course I daven. You know, a shidduch resume, you have to say, I daven with a minion 3 times a day. Of course I daven 3 times a day with a minion. She said, no, I mean really daven. Do you ever just go into the corner and take out a tehillim and beg a HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, I need to get married? Just talk to Hashem straight, without any format, without anything, just you talking to Hashem because you realize He's the only one who can help you. And Shalom, how about try that? Try besides davening 3 times a day with a minion, of course you need to do that, but try having some tefillah time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just talking to Hashem straight from your own heart and your own language, and see what happens. Instead, he tried, and sure enough, a couple months later, he merited it to find his bashert, and he was happily married. And something we can all do a little bit once in a while. You're stuck in traffic. A person has, you know, he has something important online. He has an interview. To stop and just look up at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven to him. Because ultimately, every tefillah is unique. Every time we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can help us. That's a unique prayer. And the less we make tefillah just run-of-the-mill and by rote, the more we make it unique. And the more we make each tefillah different, the more we grow from it, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillahs. Moshe Rabbeinu begins to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu one last time to let him go into Eretz Yisrael. That's a tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu has. And the question Mefarshim ask is, why now? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu feel that now was the opportune time to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him for this tefillah? And the Baal Turim says a very interesting shot. He says, if you look in the end of Parshas Dvar, in the end of the previous Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael a shmooze. He gave Klal Yisrael some inspiration, and he said, Loitiraum, don't be afraid of these nations you're going into fight. Don't be scared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got your back. Says the Baal Turim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, after I went, and I was mechazik Klal Yisrael, chizakti es Yisrael, says the Baal Turim, Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, I just gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children a lift. I gave them its inspiration. I made them feel more confident in what they're about to do. Ulai yirachim alai. Perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu now will take Rachmanis Amiz. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood something we all have to understand, that there's no greater schus. There's no greater time to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something after we went and we were mechazik Klal Yisrael. After we went and one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children And we made them feel good about themselves. We inspired them. We said a good word to somebody. We made them feel good about themselves. A person does that, a person goes and is nice to somebody else and is mechazik them, makes them feel good about themselves, there's no greater time to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that's the chance to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu merachim on you, is when you took pity and you helped out one of his children. That's the time to ask for something, and that's the power of being mechazik another yid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells it over to Klal Yisrael, and he says, "Vayis'aber Hashem bi lemanchem," and Hashem got angry with me lemanchem, for your sake. And the question is, what does that mean? And Sipornu explains, "Ipnei shehayisi mis'ave lekayim eschem ba." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I had a taiva, I had a desire to lekayim eschem ba, to establish you Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael." In a way, in a way that you shouldn't be able to ever go into galus from Eretz Yisrael. But who kvar nasa yad lezaroisam? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, already raised up his hand and says, we took an oath that he's going to put you into galus. What Sephorna means to say is, there's a well-known concept, there's a medrash and a gemara, that if Moshe Rabbeinu had been the one to bring in Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, there would never be a possibility for them to go into galus, to go into exile. And the reason for that is because everything Moshe Rabbeinu did had a certain eternalness to it. Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah is eternal, as the Rambam tells us, that of all the Sfarim that may become eventually, so to speak, not relevant in times of Mashiach, but Moshe Rabbeinu's Chamishim of the Torah will always stay relevant. Moshe Rabbeinu's Parah Aduma that he made, it lasts forever. That they took a vial of it and they put it next to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because Moshe Rabbeinu became so pure and so connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu that his Torah is pure Torah. There's nothing of him mixed into it, and therefore it's eternal. So if Moshe Rabbeinu would establish Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, it would be a lasting thing. It wouldn't be possible for it to eventually break or to end in Galus. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at me lemanchem, for your sake, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you already have to go into Galus. Now the question is, what does that mean? What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to put Klal Yisrael in there eternally? They had to go into Galus. Why? And the truth is, you find a very similar concept with Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon sins in the Garden of Eden, in the Gan Eden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh no, he may eat from the Eitz HaChayim and live for forever, and therefore we have to kick him out. Seems like, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, oh shoot, there's this, like, you know, mistake that might happen. He may eat from Eitz HaChayim. So why is there Eitz HaChayim in the first place? Why have a thing which can give eternal life if you don't want people eating you from it? And the idea is, I heard this from Marmar Lipiansky, he said a very simple point. He said that the idea is as follows, that you have, for example, let's say you have a floor, a wood, hardwood floor, right? And everyone knows every once in a while you got to restain it, cover it in a, you know, that layer of polish and restain it properly. Now, everyone knows that a proper person who restains that floor first sands it down and gets rid of all the dirt and all the scratches. Because if you're going to put a new level of lack and stain on top of that floor when it still has the dirt and scratches in it, you ruin the whole thing. The point was, you have to first make it perfect and then you stain it and cover it with a protective sheet. Before that, you're just staining an imperfect thing and protecting an imperfect thing. So before Adam HaRishon sinned, if he would have done what he was supposed to do, if he would have reached his completion and his perfection, there's the idea of him eating from the Eitz HaChayim and living for forever. The same thing with Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael would reach the right Madrega they're supposed to reach, then they're supposed to stay in Eretz Yisrael for forever, and Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to bring them in. But once they sinned with Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim, and again by the Mei Meriva, so then at that point, you can't freeze frame them. They're not perfect yet. They have to go through the process of Gullus to perfect himself, and only then could they be, so to speak, frozen into this perfect state that Moshe Rabbeinu could create. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to bring them in, because there has to be a perfection process done first until they can be put into Eretz Yisrael for eternity. Later in the parasha, in Parak Dal, Pasuk Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu gives Klal Yisrael the prohibition of Loisai Sifu al Adavar Sharnechi Mitzavah Eskamayim. There's an Isser, a prohibition, not only to not completely fulfill the mitzvahs, but there's also a prohibition of Baal Taisif. You cannot add on any mitzvahs in the Torah. And the Barna Bechaya speaks out two famous and obvious questions the older Shanim deal with. Is that, number one is, how do you reconcile this with the idea of Nedarim, of adding on prohibitions, the idea of Derabbanans, the idea of being Kaddish and being a Parish, of adding on? We seem to be adding on mitzvahs all the time. The Torah says you can't have meat and milk, and we say you can't have chicken and milk. And the idea is very, 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 very simple. He said like this, is that when I recognize that the Torah is the one that tells me what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, that's keeping the Torah. Now, I may say, look, because of the situation, because of my own personal weaknesses, in order to keep those mitzvahs properly, I have to make safeguards for myself. I have to build fences and stay away even further. That's fine. It's not adding on to the Torah. I'm not reinventing and saying, you know what, the Torah doesn't value this, but I value it. The Torah doesn't seem to make any particular mitzvah about, you know, keeping the environment safe. I am going to make a new mitzvah called, we have to make tikkun ha'olam and make the world environment safe. That's called Baal Tosef. That's adding on to the Torah. Wherever I'm saying, I'm taking the Torah's values and the Torah's mitzvahs, and I'm trying to make sure, due to my own shortcomings or circumstantial issues, that if I don't make enough safeguards, I might trip up and mess up there, that is totally fine. And that's actually a mitzvah to, like we say by a nazir, that you have to stay far away from the vineyard. And that is all about keeping a Torah's mitzvahs. That's not a prohibition of Baal Tosef. But another interesting idea is really, what's wrong? Why is what's the issue of adding on? You know, so speaking, usually we say more is better. If I ask you to buy me some meat, to buy me a pack of hot dogs, instead of buying me one pack, you buy two packs of hot dogs. So what's the issue? You have more. You have the hot dogs you wanted and you got more. So Rabbi Yochai explains that that's true. It's just a matter of quantity. There's no issue of doing more good. However, let's take a different example. Let's say there's a recipe for a cake. And the cake recipe calls for 2 cups of flour, 2 cups of sugar, 3 eggs, some chocolate chips, etc. Now, you go and you look at this and you're like, more is better. I'm going to add, instead of 1/2 tablespoon of baking soda, I'm going to add 3 tablespoons of baking soda. 2 cups of flour, I'm going to put in 8. Salt, 10 cups. There already, you understand that you're going to mess everything up, because when you add in the context where it's not about more is better, it's a specific, so to speak, defining feature. It has to look like this. There's a certain shlemus, a certain perfection, a balance that there has to be. So when you start just adding on more, you're going to mess up the whole thing. And that's when we start adding on different values and different mitzvahs, quote unquote, that we create ourselves because of what we decide, whether based on, you know, public opinion or based on current trends. So then you mess up the shlemus, you mess up the perfection, that perfect balance of what the Torah's values and Torah's mitzvahs are for a person, and that perfect Adam, that perfect person that comes out from somebody who keeps the Torah exactly in its shlemus, in its perfection. So I want to end off with one last var. My father showed me a beautiful Meshech Chacham. Meshech Chacham is in Perek Dalet Pasuk Chav Tes. The Pasuk says how Klal Yisrael will be kashtem mishamas Hashem leikecha. Klal Yisrael is going to be in Gullus, and they're going to request HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bikash them, you'll call out for Hashem, umatzas, and you're going to find him. Why? Because you searched him with your whole heart and your whole soul. But the Meshech Chacham points out something interesting, that Torah switches its language, the grammar switches. It says, ubikash them, plural, you, y'all, as we say in English, you all will search out and ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umatzasa, and you will find him. That's singular. It's talking to one person, and you will find him. Why is it switch? Is it Klal Yisrael as a whole, a bunch of people, ubikash them? Or is it a singular, you, a specific person? And Meshech Chacham explains, has a very, very important idea, that Klal Yisrael can be referred to in one of two ways. You can refer to Klal Yisrael as a group of people, lashon atem, and you can refer to Klal Yisrael as one single unit, ata, you. When is it singular? If Klal Yisrael is doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, if Klal Yisrael is unified around one mission, around one goal, about being the Am Hashem, being HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people, and being Miraim and bringing up HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in this world, if we have a unified mission, then we're one unit. We're singular. We can talk to Klal Yisrael as one, Ata. Whereas Klal Yisrael, each person is doing whatever his heart desires. Each guy is chasing after his own taivus and his own personal lusts. Then we're not unified. We're a group of people. We're separate. We got to say atem, plural. So therefore, the pasuk begins when Klal Yisrael is in Gullus. Klal Yisrael got into a hole. Klal Yisrael went after their own taivus and their own desires and their own lusts. And they're a splintered mass. Ubikashtem, and all of you splintered people, you're going to desire to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubikashtem mishamas Hashem lekecha. And then umatzasa, you as one unified Klal Yisrael, are going to find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kisidushen b'chalavalcha chalavshecha, because you searched him out with your whole heart and your whole soul. And ultimately, whenever we talk about Achdus and Klal Yisrael and unity, we have to remember that ultimately the biggest and the greatest way to bring unity in Klal Yisrael is if we recognize that we're all here for one purpose and we're all here for one mission, and that mission can only be accomplished if we do it together as a group and we unify and rally around one idea, and that is we're all here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about me, it's not about you, we're all here to do what's right, and we can only do it together. And Mitzvah Shem should be Zeicha that, you know, we just went through a Tisha B'Av, which was that we all our tefillos that we daven to have a Kosh Baruch Hu rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and unify us back together in Eretz Yisrael should be niskabel, and we should be zeicha to truly celebrate Binyan Beis HaMikdash from here. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.